You're listening to Frontline by SpeakApp, a podcast dedicated to helping you create a thriving workplace where everyone feels connected. This is episode number 8 on how to take employer branding to the next level. Our guest today is employer branding expert Esther de Krauk. Hi, welcome to Frontline by SpeakApp, the podcast dedicated to helping you create a thriving workplace where everyone feels connected. I'm your host, Matt Warnock, and I work for the content team here at SpeakApp. We created the Frontline podcast because our business requires us to have a deep understanding of how to engage and involve employees from every level of an organization. But we don't want to just share this knowledge with you. We also want to learn from other leaders in the business world. So our guest today is Esther de Krauk. Esther is the Managing Director of Employer Marketing and Employer Branding firm Top of Minds. She's helped countless companies develop and shape their own unique employer story over her career and knows what it takes to attract and retain world-class talent. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Esther.
Thank you, Matt.
So to let our listeners get to know you a little bit, we always like to start off our podcast with a fun and easy question. Mm-hmm. So, can you tell me what's the first app you open in the morning and the last app you look at before you go to bed at night?
Oh, I think like from fall to spring, the first app that I open is apps that tell me snow reports in the Alps. So I like to browse through like the weather and snow reports to find out when I can go skiing. Gives me a lot of good energy. So it's best if I do that in the morning. So I have a great start of my day. And at the end of the day, I think it's the usual things, you know, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. And then I decide like nothing very special has happened that day. And then I can go to sleep with a sound mind.
So you're obviously a keen winter sports enthusiast. How often do you get to go to are you a skier or a snowboarder?
Oh, I'm a skier. Yeah.
How often do you get to go skiing?
3 times a year. And then if I'm in the Netherlands, I practice indoors.
Okay.
So, in that sense, I go every week. But obviously, it's more fun to go to the snow than to practice in the Netherlands on like a roller band.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so before we get into today's topic, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your career path and what led you to the world of employer branding?
Sure. I live in Amsterdam, right in the heart of the Jordaan district, and already for many years. And actually, I've always been interested in marketing, communication, people. It reflected in my studies. Like I used to study communication sciences, and afterwards I decided to study anthropology, even more towards the people and the culture side and the rituals, etc. So when I decided to start my career, I was like, okay, I like to have these three elements, but I prefer to work in a commercial environment. And that's how I landed at Randstad. And there I had various roles. Obviously, it always has to do with HR in a broad sense. I led teams of recruiters, led teams of online marketeers. I set up a startup within the company. It was a mobile platform for staffing. So I did the rollout in Amsterdam. And there I actually saw all these things combined, like the marketing, the concept side of things, the entrepreneurial side of things.
Very nice. So tell me, what does employer branding mean to you? Can you give us a few kind of definitions around the term employer branding, which we see kind of used broadly, but maybe we can get a little bit more specific around that?
I think what an employer brand is at the one hand what people from outside of the company think about you as a company, so what they perceive, and at the other hand what the people that already work for you tell about you as an employer and how they experienced your job. And those two need to match. And often they don't. That's what we see a lot. And that's also what we saw. And it's about like finding that story that does justice to whatever you do as a company. and you don't necessarily need to be absolutely unique, but you do need to communicate what's important to the outer world. And by owning that narrative, by taking charge of what you communicate about your company, I think that's like, that would be my definition of employer branding.
And I'm going to put you on the spot now. Which organizations do you look at and think that, you know, they've got employer branding spot on, they're doing a great job?
I'm always surprised by Incentro. That's a Dutch company that works with a lot of tech personnel. And they dare to be very bold and brave in actually what they communicate about their brand. So I think that's a great example for me of a company that, that really stands out of the rest and dare to stand out of the rest. And
sorry, go ahead.
And another example is Aroch. They actually managed the other day to very well combine their corporate branding strategy with their employer branding strategy. And they did that, like in their corporate branding strategy, they say, we are juridische probleemoplossers. That's how you would say it in Dutch. So we are the ones that solve your legal problems. And they actually had the same type of campaign for attracting talent that could solve those legal problems. And I think by connecting your corporate brand with your employer brand so strongly that both become very trustworthy. And I think trustworthiness, apart from authenticity, apart from that it needs to bring a spark, like those are very important elements in strong employer brands.
And not just for potential employees, right? Because it's harder and harder to differentiate between your kind of corporate branding, your traditional branding, and your employer brand, with employees having such a loud voice and so much access to their own communication channels now.
Exactly, exactly. I think like a strong employer brand helps your corporate brand and vice versa. I also meet clients that actually have troubles with their employer brand because of their consumer brand or corporate brand.
In what sense? They're trying to kind of push their corporate brand and create an employer brand, or it's so strong that it over like dominates their employer brand?
Yes, that it dominates. So for example, if you are in fast food, like fast food is not very popular. Or it has like a certain connotation. And if you do want to attract the best people in the market, you do have to, fuel a story that, that people can use. Like basically what we do when we create employer brands, what we do is to, shape people's story that they tell at the kitchen table when they sit with their friends or their family or their loved ones. Because in the end, people want to hear from their relatives, like, hey, yeah, you're talking about that company and that sounds great. I think indeed you should go and talk. But if they come and they say, hey, I had a look at this and this company, and other people ask like, why is that interesting? And you cannot really explain that to them. You won't get the information that you need to take any of the first steps in order to switch jobs or to go to a new company.
Yeah, it makes sense. I guess as well, there are certain industries which have a reputation for being quite the employees move quickly through them, and certain industries like fast food, for example, here in Europe tends to be a lot more maybe younger people, students, and not necessarily seen as a career path. So it's about changing that mentality as well, or the view of that there is actually a career to be had in these hospitality companies and not just a short-term sort of transactional job.
Or what I mean is that if you have a job at your head office and let's say you're in fast food and you have a big head office to fill with like brilliant people that you need to run the business, and those people mainly see their employer brand or the image that they have of you as an employer is mainly shaped by like the restaurants that you have, or mm-hmm. like the things that they see, or any other type of marketing or communicational outing. And those stories might diffuse.
I've noticed at a few conferences I've been to lately that and traditionally HR conferences, but it feels to me that HR is getting closer and closer to marketing. And I guess employer branding is kind of that sweet spot between them. Do you see the, not just between HR and marketing necessarily, but the lines are starting to merge and there's a lot more gray area within organizations now because of that mix between what is internal, what's external, what's branding, what's culture, all these things are starting to flow together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I think at this moment, there's no marketing or there's no recruitment without marketing. And there is no marketing without any culture, I would say.
Okay, so that's a great place to finish the first part of the podcast. We created this podcast as a space to hear and learn from leaders and experts on how they create a thriving workplace. We know there's no one-size-fits-all solution, and every industry has its own unique challenges, and every company has their own values and culture. But we've created five rapid, quick-fire questions that we like to call the Thrive Five, which help us get to the bottom of how to drive workforces to succeed. So, Esther, you ready?
Sure.
The first question, is there one single employee benefit that you feel should be mandatory within every organization?
I feel it should be an inspirational day, like a day or a time in the week or month or year that you just can take off and spend that time on zooming out, looking at your own values, looking at your or your personal purpose, and then connecting that back to work and see how you can actually make even more out of it than you're doing now, just by zooming out.
And do you think, should that be done individually or as part of a team?
Could be a combination. Like, maybe it starts individually, just to do some soul searching and then bring it back to a team and to share that. Because by sharing, you're actually, others can help you in achieving your goals. And I really believe, like, if you know what's important for you as an individual, and you know it of the people around you, you can really operate as a team and do really great stuff instead of the usual stuff.
Yeah, I'm the company that I'm thinking of is totally slipping my mind at the moment, but I read a great example of that recently whereby it was a company that had the usual KPIs and you know, all the usual kind of performance metrics, but they also, once a quarter, the teams would sit together and say to each other what was important for them in the next 3 months or 6 months, whatever it was. And that could be within work, but it could also be, you know, I want to improve at presentations, or I would like to learn to manage my work-life balance better. And by bringing that together in a group, you create that kind of accountability to each other. And you know, you can really help each other to reach those goals. So I think that's a really strong way to tackle that.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah.
Okay, question two. If you could go back in time to visit yourself at the beginning of your career and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
That working life is a marathon and not a sprint.
That's good advice. That's good advice.
Yeah, it's like it, and or you make like a lot of small sprints, that's also fine, but in the end it's just like it's different than your studies where you can just take a sprint and then you'll have rest afterwards. And in working life, you work and then after 1 year you're like, oh yeah, I don't have like a 3 month summer holiday, it's another year.
It always seems so strange to me that there's such a lot of emphasis around the year end in all companies, because you come back in January and it's exactly the same. We have such a rush towards the end of December and then nothing actually changes. It's just, it's a Monday morning again. We're back to it. So.
Hello. And the same, like if you look at your working life on a much broader perspective, I think it also opens up way more possibilities for yourself. Because then you realize you can have, let's say, like multiple career paths or multiple career stages within like the total span of your work life.
Yeah. I think I've spoken at a number of kind of universities or with interns as well. And one piece of advice I always give is kind of relax, because they're so... And I was exactly the same at that age, just so eager and to know it all and to try to have a plan and just kind of relax, work hard, and things will come to you.
That's nicely put. eager to like to have a plan. Yeah. But you can't fully make the plan, or you can have ideas, but it will never work out exactly as you planned. And I think that's good to just let it happen instead of try to steer everything like for 100%.
And the more that you try to steer, the less open you are to new opportunities, right? If you've already got a career path in mind, you might be missing something way better that comes along that you never knew about.
Exactly. Yeah, fully agree.
Okay, question 3. What are the most obvious signs that employers should look at which indicate that their workplace might be needing a cultural or employer branding shakeup?
So then either you need a fresh pair of eyes that does see what makes you interesting, or you need to come to the conclusion that you start doing things really differently.
Okay, 4th question. What are the books or the resources that you'd recommend to anyone interested in business culture or employer branding?
Yeah. Well, study anthropology, like I did. No, I'm joking about it, but it's a great way of like having a very holistic view of your organization. And in the end, employer branding or culture or these things, they never stand alone. It's all connected. So, it's a nice way of looking at organizations. But if you want to get a bit more into business, I must admit that I do not read a lot of business books or any of those kind of things. But one of the books that I did read was, or at least for 20 pages, was The 4-Hour Work Week. And already after those 20 pages, I got like 3, 4, or 5 learnings that I was very inspired about.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I think that's one of the lessons that applies to this is the lesson of, okay, look at your client base and just see what clients give you energy and what clients give you and bring money to the table.
Yeah.
And skip the rest and multiply like the few clients that you like to work with most. And I think if you, as an organization, if you manage to do that, it means you can work on things that you like, that gives energy to people, that gives energy to people that want to work for you. So I think it's about daring to focus and do the things that give you great energy. And then like culture will be strong. And then the story that you can tell about your company will be strong.
Yeah, daring is a good word there, because I think a lot of that comes down to, and this is why not all organizations do it, but it comes to down to being able to say no as well.
Mm-hmm.
And saying no to the wrong type of business or if you have a product or service, not trying to make it fit every potential audience and being willing to say, well, actually, this isn't the right product or service for you. This is what we do, and this is what we do really well, and this is who it's for.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, so the final question. What's the one small change that you think employers can make relatively easily, relatively quickly, starting today, that would help their workplace to thrive?
Starting to show who they are to the outside world so that the people that work for them can be proud of what they and what they do, and at the same time recognize the people that work hard for you. So they start, you know, telling that to the outside world as well. It like, and what I want to say is an employer brand all starts with the people you have in your company, and not just with a great facade that they don't, that they might not recognize. It's your people that should be your biggest ambassadors, telling their friends in their weekends or whatsoever that they had a great week and that they did some cool stuff.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a great place to finish. Thank you so much, Esther. It's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And if anybody wants to find out anything more about you or on Top of Minds, it's topofminds.com.
Yes, sure.
And any social channels to follow?
Yeah, we're on LinkedIn. Well, that's it.
Okay, cool. Topofminds.com, and follow the links from there as well. So thank you so much for joining us, listeners. If you liked our podcast, please leave a review on iTunes. And if you have any comments or suggestions, you can reach us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. You can also contact us via email at podcast@speakapp.com. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.